And it's my privilege now to hand over to Phil, who's going to tell you, although he didn't know that's what he was going to do, how he broke free. Over to you, Phil.
Thank you. Where do you start? My parents were married for 16 years before they had me. I think I was an accident. My mum was in Bethnal Green Hospital, giving birth, got toxemia, and I was blamed for nearly killing her for most of my young life, particularly when there was rows, which was quite a lot. I'm not going to give you a flouncy, lovely, cuddly testimony, because I didn't have one. But it is what it is. And it brought me here to this day, so I can't. We moved to East Anglia, to a little country place out in the middle of nowhere, and it got full of London people, and it was overcrowded, and it was rough, and it was dangerous, and I hated it there. Absolutely hated it. This was very early days I started hating it. Partly because of being bullied at home, I then started being bullied at primary school. You don't think it can start so early. But yeah, primary school. No, you're not playing with that, I am, and you get pushed out of the way. Subtle at first, but it builds. This bullying went on all the way until mid-middle school, and suddenly I became 6 foot one. They stop picking on you when you become 6 foot one and you play rugby and things like that. I played it very badly, but, you know, at least I was playing, I suppose. My dad molested me as a child, and this just added to all my deep joy and love of the human race. So by the time I actually got round to leaving school, I didn't care. Nothing moved me, it just all water on duck's back just flew off me. We used to have holidays twice a year. Every one of them, by day two at least, I was being yelled at, "You've ruined another beep holiday." He didn't say the F word or anything, but you know. Yes, I'd ruined every holiday. And even up until a few years ago, I still thought when I went away with my wife, you know, I've ruined another holiday, you know? Don't realise the damage that can be done to a little young mind. The last family holiday was the best. We got into a row, and my dear dad tried to strangle me. So, he didn't. He didn't manage it. I just point that out. I pushed him across the room, left, went back to work. They came back. My first full 2 weeks of wages, my first week in hand, I bought myself a teddy boy jacket, a drape with red collar, black, 3/4 length. It looked, I can see by your faces, it doesn't mean anything. I thought it was the best thing ever. My dad said, "Get out." So I went. That was my life. I was living in lodgings at 16, trying to get through what I should have been getting through at 19, 20, I don't know. But with a mind that still was unable to think further than six. It didn't work. So I started getting in bands. I was drinking and drinking. And John, I was drinking a lot. 7 nights a week. I started doing the occasional substance that you shouldn't use. I didn't think much to it. Just made me hungry. I don't need any help getting fat. I really don't. So I joined bands. Guess where that took me? It took me to places with alcohol, so I started drinking a bit more. I met my first wife. Everything was reasonable. We weren't great, but we were reasonable. We were both looking for a way out, so we did that. Eventually, she got pregnant with my little girl, who's no longer little. She's probably as big as me. Sideways, she disappears, but she's as big as me. And my wife got postnatal depression and left me about 10 times, I think, before I said, "That's it." And she said, "Oh, on my 21st birthday, She said, I'm getting divorced. You might as well have your present. So I started drinking even heavier. This went on and on and on. I went out with a girl and she was a witch. And I got dragged into all the occult stuff, which seemed harmless. You know, a lot of them were spiritualists and, oh, we believe in the Godhead and we do these prayers and then we're going to have a little seance in the corner. And I didn't quite understand it because I didn't understand religion. I thought it was all part of the same thing. But I didn't like the witchcraft. So I stopped being with her and went with another woman who was a healer in the spiritualist church, who also happened to be all around witchcraft and knew more witches than the first one had done. And I just got deeper and deeper and deeper, spiralling into absolute depression. I lived by now in an old flat in a part of a manor house. Lovely place, but really dark. And one night I said, I was at the bottom, or I was right at the bottom. So I said, Lord, if you exist, prove it. I waited. And there was this sort of fluttering in the chimney, which, because it was evening, you wouldn't expect to hear anything. I thought, oh, there's a bird. I said, I really need to know. If you're there, let me know. Let me know you're there. And I heard the fluttering again. It never happened before. I'd been there for like 8 months. I'd never heard any noises in that front room. It was deadly silent all the time. I thought, no, it can't be. I was sat there rocking because I was a bit depressed, to be honest. I hadn't been out for about 3 weeks. And I noticed that the turntable on the record player was going round. And I also noticed that it wasn't switched on. And the plug wasn't in the wall. So I jumped up and got out of that room very quickly. But I still didn't think, oh, this is God giving me an option. I thought, no, this is the dark side saying, we're here for you. Don't worry about us. You'll be fine. Just go along with us. So I went along with them. And I had girlfriend after girlfriend that was interested in New Age, witchcraft, the occult. I did tarot cards, I did healing, I did all sorts of things that I don't want to go into, to be honest. I had a motorbike accident coming back from Devon and broke my neck. I broke in a couple of places in one of the bits of my neck. They dragged me to Addenbrooke's Hospital, which I could see across the field, but it took them 20 minutes to get there. And they took me there, and halfway there I said, my neck hurts. They laid me down, they put straps on, everything. I was there for 3 days. I wouldn't do as I was told. I was a big, hard biker. I didn't want to be kept in a place like that. So they let me go home, and I went back to that empty flat full of demons and my demons and... This came up to 1986, and my dad died. He was given the diagnosis of terminal cancer. We had 3 weeks with him, and I felt cheated. I drove around for 3 days, drinking, sleeping in the car. I don't even remember where I went. I think I ended up in Devon at one point, and then back up in East Anglia, and who knows, I just drove. And when the pub was open, I'd go in the pub, drink a bit more. This would have been fine if I'd had car insurance and a licence. You didn't hear that, Roger. Okay. So I just kept drinking. Many, many failed relationships. And eventually, my second wife, who was manipulative and dangerous and a little bit psychotic, if I really think about it, eventually pushed me far enough that I said, I'm leaving. And I knew Lisa at the time. I've known Lisa since when we first came to the island. I said, can I use your box room to stay in? You know, I've got nowhere to go. She said, yes. I moved in. As time went on, we formed a really deep relationship. I went from a six-piece band down to a duo, down to solo. I was working 7 nights a week. I played in front of 22,000 people. If you knew how nerve-wracking it is to sit up here and tell you about my life, for all it's wonderful, I've never known stress like it. But it's good. It's a good thing. In 2007, or 2003, I can't remember at the moment, I didn't look it up, my back gave out and I couldn't work anymore. And I couldn't drink on the medication that I was given, which was quite devastating because I was drinking every night. Not at the gig, I was getting home and drinking probably a bottle of whiskey and, you know, getting through the next day with a vile hangover. But I couldn't do that anymore. I couldn't walk up the stairs in that house, so we had to move to Newport. So I'd gone from disliking anything to do with religion to hating Christians, hating atheists, which I'd been for a while because they were just vile, and I ended up in Satanism. And for a short while, I viewed myself as a Satanist. I didn't know how to get out, but I saw it as a sensible, moderate way. We don't believe in Satan, we just don't believe in, you know, all that other rubbish. I started having sleep paralysis 4 or 5 times a week. Terrifying, if you've ever had it. Absolutely terrifying. One afternoon I was sitting in front of the computer waiting to go to the gig, which I couldn't go to because, you know, my back hurt. Because I still lived the same routine as even if I wasn't working. And I thought, they keep going on about this Jesus chap. Who is he? And I switched on this audio thing, and it was the bit, I'm not kidding you, it was 2 minutes, where he was walking up the hill being spat on and hit and mocked. And I thought, you filled in the blanks. Even your own people hated you. That's how wrong this Christianity is. That's how wrong this world is. This is how wrong people are. This is how bitter and twisted I become. And 2 minutes later, less than, I felt the presence of the Lord come into the room. I can barely get it out now. And this is 8 years on. Everything I believed up to that point in my life was completely obliterated. I was, oh no, do what you like, it's your body, if you want to have an abortion, you go and do that. That's murder. Oh, is it? Okay, I believe that now, 100% I believe it. All these things, everything, I was told which Bible to read, so that I would understand it, not necessarily because it's the one, but because it was the one that was going to talk to me. God told me all this in one download. And it's still coming into fruition now as I go through my short walk with the Lord. I have studied so much. My head is full of the Bible and full of Hebrew, and I like a bit of Greek and I like a bit of this. I've just filled my head with God because He filled my life so completely. God is so good. And if you don't know God today, just talk to Him. Just say, I'm here. Now do your bit. Because we can't do it without God. We can't do anything without Him. He is our rock, our redeemer, our guiding light. And one day, hopefully soon, we're going to see Him. Thank you.